You know, I had another blogger say, excuse me, I listened to another blogger and he said, people are clones of clones of clones of clones and don't even know it. That's true with denominations especially. They just go by what somebody said. They don't read the book themselves. They don't come to the conclusion themselves. They just go by what somebody else said. It's like they want to be a cult member. They're just following along because somebody else said it. I'll give an example. When you start to study the Greek, so let's say you're in a church and you start to study the Greek, you'll have some pastor saying, oh, you're not ready yet. They will actually say that. What do you mean I'm not ready? It's just the Greek. What are you talking about? I'm studying another language. What do you mean I'm not ready yet? They will actually try to get you from having knowledge and wisdom, and they want to set themselves up higher than you when it's really easy. You want me to tell you what the Bible is really in one sentence? And it doesn't matter if it's Genesis or Ephesians or Colossians or Revelation, the same truth. Believe on Jesus. Receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit, into your heart by faith. Believe on Jesus. Receive Christ in your heart by faith. Get born again. And then walk in the Spirit. You might say, well, what does that mean? Walk in the Spirit is just love and truth. Start to renew your mind in truth. And the more truth you have, the more love you can have. Because if you're not in truth, you don't have love. If you're in the spirit of error, if you haven't cleansed your mind from the worldly wisdom, then you don't really know what love is. You might pretend like you do, but it's self-worship. Usually people say, I love, blah, 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 I love you. But they really love themselves. I've had women say that to me, that they love me, but turned out they just love themselves. It was all for money. It was all for security, money, whatever. It wasn't love. But they might have thought that. But real love believes all things, endures all things, hopes all things. Real love is steady. Steady state. Real love doesn't abandon. Real love doesn't lie and cheat and run the streets and whatever they do. Love is based on truth. So in order to walk in the Spirit, you have to fill your mind with more truth. The more truth you drink, the more you're able to love. The more you receive God's love, in his church, in his through him directly and through his body, his church, the more you receive it in agape, the more you're able to give it. You can't give something if you don't have it. In other words, if the unsaved say, I love somebody, let's say they love somebody. No, they don't, because they haven't received God's love. God is love. If they haven't received God into their heart, they don't have love. It's selfish love. God is love. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. How can they walk away the way without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit? Why does some preacher want to make you pay a tithe instead for 20 years or whatever, 5 years, and he could tell you what I just told you in 5 minutes or less? He don't want you to be free. Why don't the preachers talk about walking in the Spirit? Because they don't want you to be free. Because you won't need them anymore. That's their paycheck, you see. Somebody donated some money last week. I think I was able to, I know why she did it. Because she wanted to be a part of it, you know. If you're reaching the lost, she wanted to be a part of that, right? The donation is just going to go into making the, paying the website and uploading some messages. So she's really, she's donating to God. She, in other words, God gave her, she gives it back to God. But I didn't ask. I've been doing this for a long time. 10 to 15 years paying the payment every day to keep a website up with the gospel out of my own pocket. And so when I saw that donation, and I knew, I thought, okay, she's wanting to be a part of this in some way, shape, or form. And so God sees the heart, right? God looks on the heart. And a lot of people, they'll go to church and they pay that tithe every week and they'll never grow. They'll never grow. They'll never learn anything. And the preacher could tell you the whole truth in 5 minutes, that the Bible is about bringing the body of Christ into unity, into the doctrines of the faith, that Jesus paid it all. It's finished. And the church is to walk in truth and love, agape. And that it's not a religion of touch not, taste not, handle not. It's a new creature. And so being born again as a new creature, you change every day. It's the Spirit in you. The Spirit in you changes every day. The more you drink the Word, the more you grow and you become a new person. And this is why you have to separate from the world, because if you tie to the world, you're still going to think like the world. But when you cut the world's music off, the world's fellowship, the worldly people out of your life, you start to grow like exponential. If you're serious about growth, spiritual, then you're going to grow. If you want to grow, the Bible talks about pray in God's will, right? And whatever you ask, it will be done. If you say, Lord, I want to grow spiritually, boom. He heard that. That's His will. It's going to happen. That's why Charles Stanley said one time, he said, if you pray for somebody, Ephesians 1, 9 through 12, and they're in agreement, you're going to see them grow exponentially. There's a parallel verse in Colossians chapter 1, 2, or chapter 2. I think it's Colossians 1, 8 or something like that, but it's Ephesians 1, 9, 1, 8. You know, he says, I pray that you grow in wisdom from God, spiritual wisdom. That prayer is according to God's will. Now, if you pray that for somebody and they're not saved, it's not going to happen. They got to get saved first. Because I remember praying it for somebody and she wasn't even saved. I was born in church. I was never a sinner. When I heard that, I said, no hope. I gave up hope. I gave up hope. That's what the wicked say. They're not sinners. They're not born in sin. If I hear somebody say, I was not born in sin, I'm not a sinner, I lose hope in that person getting saved. Because everyone that I've ever heard my whole life, if you say, look, the Bible says you're born in trespasses and sin. and you got to be born again. And they say, I wasn't ever a sinner. And you just read the verse, and they got their Bible highlighted. They got their Bible highlighted from a child. They got all these highlights in their Bible, right? And the Bible, and you show them the verses. You're in sin, did my mother conceive me? You're dead in trespasses and sin. And they say, I was never a sinner. How can you have any hope for somebody like that? It's right there. They say they believe the Bible, but they don't. How can you have any hope for somebody like that? It's right there on the paper, black and white. They say that's their authority, but they can't admit sin. How can you even help somebody like that? You can't. You can just shake the dust off your feet and move on. If you're married to one of those, eventually they'll leave because they can't handle the pressure. The pressure's too much. The conviction is too much. You don't even have to say anything. Just walk in the room and they know the power of the Holy Spirit convicting them of sin. And they'll even say something. Well, you're a sinner. Yeah, I'm a sinner. That's why I need to be saved. Yeah, my sin stinks to the high of heaven. See, when you can admit you're born in sin, your flesh is nothing but sin, your old Adam is evil to the core. When you can admit that, they have no power over you. See, it's all, they're used to play it. See, the flesh mind, the old Adam, or the old Eve, the old Eve is used to playing these games like, I'm better than you, or you're worse than me, or stuff like that. And when you don't play that anymore, they have nothing to hang on. They have nothing. So the demon in them wants to get rid of that conviction of sin, right? You're not even preaching to them or saying anything. You just walk in the room. If you've ever had a parent that wasn't saved, you walk in the room, why are you judging me? I didn't say that. What are you talking about? I didn't say nothing. What are you talking about? Why are you judging? See, it's the demon in them. They don't even know they're even saying it. They forget. By next week, they forgot they even said it. Or the next hour, or the next day. This is power. This is extraterrestrial. And so think about it. It took me a long time, most of my life, to see this. What's animating the unsaved? What's animating the family member who's lost? What's animating them? The devil. The devil. They're dead in trespasses and sin. They're not born again. They're not saved. They haven't been regenerated. They have no truth. They can repeat it like a parrot, like Bible verses. They can quote Bible verses, but it's a parrot. It's not real. A parrot. You know, when you walk in the house and somebody's got a parrot, the parrot sounds exactly like the parent, the other person living there. The other creature living there. But the parrot is speaking. It ain't the person. But it sounds just like the person. God gave us animals for object lessons. A parrot. That's why we use the word parrot. Parody. I mean, a parrot. P-A-R-R-O-T, I think. It's just a parrot simulation. It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And when you get away from all of them, you have to get away from all the unsaved for about 2 years. Cut them all out of your life. All the unsaved and all the ones that are suspiciously unsaved. In other words, they don't really seem like they're really saved. So you cut them out of your life for 2 years, and you're like, when you get back around them, it's like they didn't grow, and they're still talking the same talk, and it's like, oh, you were never saved. I thought you were saved. You're not even what I thought. I don't even know why I was talking to you. I don't even know why I was wasting my time. They just speak death. They live in the past. They speak death, and they live in the past, and they love the world system. They love it. And they're comparing themselves with one another. They're people pleasers, lovers of man instead of lovers of God, lovers of pleasure instead of lovers of God. Their God is their belly. They really don't have any any truth at all. There's no life in them. They'll just tell you what you want to hear. They'll just repeat what you already have said, you know. And I've tested it. Here's what they'll do. So you'll talk to them on the phone or something. And so you won't talk to them for about 2 or 3 days or something. And when they call back, they'll bring up something that you said last week that you forgot about to try to make you think, oh, they're like you. When in reality, they're just repeating back something you already said that you forgot you said. And so when this is what I'm talking about. When you start taking notes and you get away from them, you start to see it's all apparent. And you realize they're doing it to everybody in their life. They're just saying back to people what they've already been said, somebody said to them. And you're like, when you realize what's going on, it's like they have no independent thought. In other words, they can't think for themselves. And it's like, when you realize that, when you realize this, now this is deep. When you realize that they're only repeating back what they heard from you a week later to try to impress you, to try to get you on their team or try to get you to, but they weren't able to analyze it and deduce it themselves, or even, you know, what would be nice is you say something, they come back next week and say, you know, I thought about that, and here, what do you think about this? And they add to it. It's iron sharpening iron. But they're not really iron sharpening iron, even though they try to be. It would be nice. I've had that opportunity last week where a born-again sister, she'll send a comment, text me a comment. It's like, oh, yeah, I never thought of it like that. So it's iron sharpening iron, a real spirit-filled person. But a person who's not spirit-filled, they're not going to be able to give you, add to it. It's not, it's just, it's not, they're not, they can't add to it. They can only they can only copy. It's sad to know that a lot of people think they're saved and they're not. It's sad. I mean, sad. They go to church all the time, but they've never been saved. But because they go to this such and such church, and that people around them, they put on that fake face, and the people around them think they're saved. I had a preacher say one time, he said, I don't think, he said, until I know somebody's saved, I don't trust them at their word. If they say I'm saved, he says, I don't believe it until I just know it. He's telling the truth. They can't hear you. If you say something like this, the saved person ought to be able to hear this. And you say, okay, the reason I'm able to use the language to decode this reality is because God controls the language. You see it in the book of Genesis where God went down and just split the languages up. And the reason he split the languages up, because if man, because think about it, if man spoke the same language, he can do anything. And the reason is because you see in Revelation that they're speaking the same language as the John the Revelator on earth. So John was able to speak the same language in heaven as on earth. Long story short, that tells you the language is in heaven, it's on earth. Just like the Holy Spirit in heaven, on earth. Just like the Word on in heaven, on earth. So the language is connected to the heavenlies. And so the language, you can decode this reality via the language. And so when you break it into parts, you're able to see deep spiritual truth. It's common sense to know that if God controls the languages, then there's hidden code in the language. It just makes total sense. Now, if you can't see it, that's fine. But you know if God gives you a word, it consists of phonics, cognates, vowels, consonants, shapes and symbols and types and shadows and metaphors and similes and symbolic stuff and metaphorical stuff and spiritual. You know the language has to be spiritual. Not only is the language spiritual, but it can actually be used in the natural. And so that's what language does for the natural man. The language is just a function in the natural. But if you want to go and take the language deeper, you can actually see spiritual truth in the language. But you have to break it into its parts, just like you'd break the word of truth. It says, rightly divide the word of truth. What is the word? It's the word. What are languages? Words. So just like you can rightly divide the Bible, the word, you can rightly divide words and get deep spiritual truth. And that should just make total sense to a saved person. A saved person ought to be shouting, be saying, praise God, he's telling the truth. You can break words into parts, see spiritual truth, just like you break the word of the Bible into parts and see it's true. But the denominations have blinded people to see stuff like that. The music, the TV, the noise, the world, your friends, your family, your bloodline, your culture, blinds you from seeing these kind of things. And so you have to cut them off for a season. And then when you get it in your, becomes a part of you, your core, your gut, you go back and talk. You know what they try to do? Take you back to the old identity that's dead. You're not even that person anymore. And they try to pull you back into their old patterns. And that pattern is not even who you are anymore. It is a trip. I forgot what I was even talking about. I can't remember what I was talking about. So I'll end it right here.